Good morning, friends and brethren. Very good to see you this morning. Good to see several visitors with us. Especially glad to have you with us today. Let's take our Bibles and be turning to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. It's here we find in verse 25 a statement of Jesus that is familiar. We've just sang about it, really. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." We're going to look at the text a little more closely here in just a moment, but as we do, we keep in mind and we think about these things. The sayings and the actions of Jesus, as some of the events unfold in this 11th chapter, some people would see and understand, and some people would just not get it. What was so obvious to some is completely missed by others. The death of Lazarus offers such a telling look at who Jesus is. It helps us to see his humanity. It helps us to see his emotions. But of those who were there, many missed what should have been observable to all. The reason for raising Lazarus from the dead is told by Jesus. There was a purpose. There was a far-reaching effect that was sought by this event. But most did not get it. And it was their own fault. Because you have to listen to the words of Jesus. In reality, the raising of Jesus from the dead had little to do about raising Lazarus from the dead. It is a compelling story, and it helps us again to see the emotions of Jesus, but we need to not miss the real point of the lesson. And that was what Jesus was foretelling that we need to see. The Jewish leaders had already tried to lay hands on Jesus. More than once they've tried to stone him, but he was able to get away. They had tried to stone him for blasphemy, but he had escaped their hands. Jesus sought refuge for a time over the Jordan, the place where John the Baptist had been baptizing. And many came to see Jesus there, and when they did and they heard him, they believed in him. And yet many still failed to recognize Jesus for who he claimed to be truly, the Son of God. It was the death of a dear friend that called Jesus back to the city, that called him back to Bethany. As we said, he was on the other side of the Jordan, perhaps as much as a two-day journey away. And when he got word that Lazarus, his dear friend, was ill, sick, Jesus already knew what he must do. He had a plan, because the message came to him that the one whom you love is sick. We look at the text in John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, him who you love is sick." Jesus, when he heard that, he said, "This sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Already in the words of Jesus, we should understand some things about the event as it's unfolding and the purpose that Jesus has, that he's going to use in the death of Lazarus. Jesus knew immediately that this was an event that would bring glory to God. And so Jesus delayed his return to Bethany, not because of fear of men, but to accomplish his purpose. And he stayed for two more days where he was. And then he said, "Let us go again to Judea." His disciples could not understand why Jesus would go back to that area where the Jews had sought to kill him. But there was work to do, and now was given the time to do that work. Jesus never lost focus of who he was and what he needed to do and what his purpose was. And since Jesus delayed, he knew that Lazarus would be dead when he arrived. Verse 11. These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may take him out of sleep." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleeping. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. I am glad for you, for your sakes, that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. You wonder a little bit what his disciples were thinking. Because they had seen the miracles of Jesus already. They knew that he had the power to heal the sick. And if Jesus had just left immediately, perhaps he could have got to Lazarus before he died. He could have healed him. But Jesus delayed. Now, I'm not sure still that they understand the purpose in that, but Jesus has a purpose. He's already identified it to us, that this will bring glory to God. That his sleep, that of Lazarus, would make a very important point. Jesus knew he would raise him from the dead. And so when they arrived in Bethany, Lazarus was dead already for 4 days. Many had gathered to comfort Mary and Martha. And so it was known without question that their brother Lazarus was dead. In that, Martha's faith was not weakened in any way, and even confirms her faith in recognizing the resurrection. Because she knows nothing yet about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. That's not happened yet. Then that was soon to take place, but she was speaking of the last day and the resurrection. In verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. The faith of Martha was not diminished in any way. In the fact that Jesus had not arrived in time to heal her brother from sickness did not seem to trouble her at all. She knew that she could see her brother again in that last great day. She had comfort and hope in thinking of that day. But reading on, focus on the words of Jesus. Verse 25, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. The meaning here is more significant than just the resurrection of Lazarus that was to take place. Jesus was talking about something more. And that was big in itself, the idea of Lazarus being raised from the dead. That would prove the power of Jesus. It would prove that he was the Son of God. Indeed, it would prove that he is God. It would prove his deity. But in the big picture, there was something more to be proven by this. As Jesus said in verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha thought she understood. And she truly believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. But I'm not sure she fully understood what Jesus was saying when he said that whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She could only identify that he was the Christ, you know, and she believed in the resurrection in the last great day. But Jesus is alluding to something more, something greater even. And it's true that Lazarus would soon rise from the dead. But, you know, he was not the only one that the Lord would bring back. The Lord even raised others from the dead. He brought back the son of the widow of Nain. Remember Luke's account, chapter 7. And in Luke's account, chapter 8, there is the restoring to life of the daughter of Jairus, remember? So there are others who have been brought back to life. But what Jesus is talking about goes beyond this. It goes beyond bringing back or giving physical life to someone once again. And Jesus affirms that he has the power to raise the dead. And that he will be the cause of the resurrection. And he has said this already. In fact, we think in going back a few pages to chapter 6 and verse 40, it was in that same text where Jesus had already identified himself as being the bread of life. We talked about that not long ago. And in verse 40, Jesus said, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. You see, Jesus has already talked about this. He has already told his disciples about a great resurrection that would take place. It is Jesus who will be in control of the resurrection in that last great day. And Martha was looking forward to that day and knew that Lazarus would be raised up. But it is his statement again, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is proving that he is the very cause of the resurrection. That without Christ, that there would be no resurrection at the end of time. And understand, his resurrection is critical to the gospel. The fact that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Now, his resurrection has not happened yet. I mean, what we're reading in John chapter 11 is before the resurrection of Christ. But Jesus knows what's going to happen. And he knows the power of God. But the point to be emphasized again is that it is his resurrection that is so critical to the gospel. Hold your place for a moment. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the early part of that chapter. Here is a chapter where the Apostle Paul speaks almost exclusively about the resurrection and what is to happen in that time and in that day, and exchanging these mortal bodies for that which is immortal. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then the 12. And after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Paul testifies to the fact that he was a witness of the risen Christ. Not just him, but all of the apostles. And in fact, there were many disciples who had seen Jesus, and he had walked among them. And here, as Paul is speaking, he spoke about the hope that we are given by his resurrection, that Jesus being the first fruits of those who would be raised. Still there in chapter 15, in verse 20, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul said something a little bit similar to that in Romans chapter 8 when he talked about those who might be conformed to the image of the Son of God, who was the firstborn among many brethren. And just as Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brethren or many sons of God, it was Jesus Christ who was the first fruits of the resurrection, that he was raised first, and that we can have confidence in a resurrection that'll last, a resurrection that takes us even into eternity. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus was not the first to be raised from the dead, as we've seen. As we mentioned already about the son of the widow and the daughter of Jairus. And here in just a few moments, it's going to be Lazarus who is raised from the dead. But they all had something in common. They all died again. They were raised to a physical life, but they all died again. Jesus was resurrected in what is a life eternal. And even the resurrection that Martha was looking forward to and knew that she would see and that Lazarus would see on that last great day is a reference to a resurrection eternal, where death comes not again. Jesus is the only one never to die again from the resurrection. His own resurrection is critical to the gospel, as we said, and without his resurrection, we would have no hope. Back in the Gospel of John, once again, and turning back a few pages to chapter 5, and in verse 28, Jesus says, John 5 and verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Jesus had some things to say about the resurrection. And there were those who were his disciples already who truly believed in the resurrection that was to come and understood the place and the power of Jesus even. But there is that promise that Jesus has made when he has said, I am the resurrection and the life. And what all does that mean to us? Jesus promises life that is to come, a resurrection that leads to eternal life. And where there is resurrection, there is life. The emphasis now being on, I am the resurrection and the life. In John's introduction to his book, as we've studied some recently, looking to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, he speaks directly of Jesus. And in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the introduction, he speaks so powerfully about Jesus and who he was, his place, and the light to the world that he is, and that life is in him. Turning a few pages to chapter 6, and in verse 33, Jesus made a statement that's similar. John 6 and verse 33, when Jesus said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus promised eternal life to those who are his sheep. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, we studied this not long ago. John chapter 10 and verse 28, beginning of verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, that they should never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And it was John who was writing again in the Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, the words of Jesus that say, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. And so we start thinking about some of these things that Jesus said. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Life comes through Jesus, always. And it's in the power of his resurrection that we have such great hope, confidence of what the resurrection shall be and what it brings. Eternal life transcends physical death. Faith does not preserve us from physical death. Lazarus was one of the closest associates of the Lord. And yet physical death came to him. The Lord raised him from the dead, but physical death would come again. Eternal life transcends physical death. But when we die, we will be restored to life in the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is something that we should find great hope and comfort in. Something that's amazing for us to think about. It's something that Jesus had a lot to say about. Looking to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There seems to be some confusion among the Christians. Here we are some years past the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. And there are disciples that are confused about death and what comes. And the Apostle Paul is trying to help them understand. It seems there were some who were concerned that there were disciples who had passed away and now they'll miss the coming of Christ. And the Apostle says, oh no. No one's going to miss that day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that you not sorrow as others who have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Restored to life. No, not physical life. Physical life could only lead to death again. But restored to life, that is life eternal. One scholar, William Barclay, wrote this. I thought this was interesting. Through Jesus Christ, we know that we are journeying not to the sunset, but to the sunrise. In the most real sense, we are not on our way to death, but on our way to life. We thought about death that way. It's like a sunset. I mean, most of us enjoy seeing a sunset. Many times, Sandra and I have been, we've been in the mountains, we've sat on the side of a mountain to watch the sun set. It's a glorious sight, beautiful sight. But you know, we're always just planning on there being a sunrise. Last week when we were on the East Coast, there were two or three nights that we stayed out went out to the beach for the sunset. The sunset was actually behind us, but it's still pretty when the sun sets behind you when you're looking out over the water. And then there were some mornings we got up early the next morning to go out to the same spot to see the sunrise. Beautiful, glorious, majestic. And we just expect that when there is a sunset, there is a sunrise. And indeed, that's true. But what if the sun sets tonight and we see no sunrise? Life passes before the sunrise. How do we feel about that? But what the Lord is telling us, what the apostles are telling us, is that when there is a sunset, that is when this life comes to an end. And if we think about it in this way as a metaphor, that when this life sets, when it comes to an end and we see the last sunset, there will be a sunrise. But I'm not talking about that which is physical. I'm speaking of that which is spiritual. A sunrise when the Lord comes, a resurrection on the last great day. A sunrise that leads us into eternity, life that never ends. Physical life, even if the Lord was to bring us back to physical life, this life will end. But life, spiritual life, is eternal. And that's what Jesus was talking about. That's what he was talking about. Though Lazarus lay before him dead, the physical body was stone cold, as we say. He'd been dead for 4 days. And Jesus brought him back to life, but the physical body would die again. And so you see, there's more to what Jesus was saying when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." It had so much more to do than bringing Lazarus back to a physical life. He was talking about life eternal. And that which is found only in him. The point of what Jesus is teaching is that he has the power to resurrect the dead. And he offers us life eternal. And because of his precious death and the powerful resurrection that took place, we have hope. We have living hope. God's mercy is fully displayed to us in the death in the life of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I think this is what Peter is trying to help us to see and to understand. And he begins this epistle trying to remind disciples the blessings that we have in Christ, where God's mercy is just so fully displayed for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope that we have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. The apostle was concluding some of his thoughts about that last great day and the resurrection to come. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory and hope that comes in Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Hope offered to us by Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God. Do you have that hope? By the grace and the mercy of God, we all have opportunity to know and to understand the blessed hope that is given to us in His Son. Do you have that hope? It can be yours, but only if you are willing to give yourself to Him. If you're willing to submit to His will, if you're willing to accept the terms of His call, being washed in His blood, we have that hope. Jesus died that He might be resurrected as the firstborn of many, the first fruits of many, as the text said. And today you can die to sin. Today you can become a child of God. Even as Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you have delayed obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and becoming a baptized believer, please don't wait anymore. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ comes through His blood, and being baptized for remission of sins puts us in a relationship with God. Don't delay any longer. And if as a Christian you have fallen back in the ways of the world, Christ is still calling, repent of your sins. Pray forgiveness. Can we help you in some way? Would you respond as we stand and sing?